From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Robert Siegel. When the 112th Congress convenes next week, one thing Republicans say they won't be doing is earmarking. No more spending federal money on projects singled out by individual lawmakers. Or at least that's the plan. NPR's Peter Overby says Washington lobbyists anticipate that Congress won't really swear off the high-dollar habit.
At the watchdog group Taxpayers for Common Sense, Vice President Steve Ellis is ready to say they've won a major battle in their war against earmarks.
Earmarking as we know it is done.
But you notice Ellis said earmarking as we know it. He knows what an overpowering impulse it is for lawmakers to take federal money and spend it back home. Just one example, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. Even as he came out against the practice of earmarks last month, he continued to defend his own.
Make no mistake, I know the good that has come from the projects that I've helped support throughout my state.
So here's how things look as the new earmark bans are about to take effect. The lobbyists who specialize in earmarks aren't going out of business. Some of them are diversifying, picking up other kinds of clients, but they're also retuning their methods, so they'll be ready as a new process takes shape, one that might be called earmarking by another name. Patrick Mitchell has lobbied on earmarks for more than 20 years. His clients currently include local governments, nonprofits, and homeland security contractors.
Cities and universities and transportation agencies, among others, around the country come to members of Congress with legitimate needs, I think those members are going to want to do something about it.
So what kinds of things might they do? I went to visit Bill Ferguson, another veteran of earmarks lobbying. His firm is called the Ferguson Group. He explained his approach to me.
What we do is go into a local government that we represent, and we ask them to sit down with us and decide what they want to do in the coming year.
So there's a wish list. It has to be approved by the local officials, and then Ferguson's lobbyist takes it to the relevant members of Congress. Ferguson says everybody likes this approach, even now.
A lot of the members that we deal with have already asked us to continue to do that, even though there are no earmarks.
In other words, there's an expectation the money's going to come from somewhere. And one likely source? Competitive grants awarded by agencies in the executive branch. Ferguson says he's ready for it.
We've created a separate grant operation that works with local governments in a systematic way to help them better compete for grants.
This means lobbying the executive branch instead of Congress. In fact, the lawmakers could help with the lobbying. Already, some on Capitol Hill are bypassing the existing agency process with behind-the-scenes communication. That's called phone marking or letter marking.
The process of making grants is anything but transparent.
Diana Evans is a political scientist at Trinity College in Connecticut. She studies the politics of earmarking.
There's certainly evidence that well-placed members of Congress do better in the grant-making process than less well-placed members.
And Evans predicts another trend, too, a rise in tax breaks targeted for specific beneficiaries. These are called tax earmarks. Unlike spending earmarks, they haven't been banned, and they don't need to be disclosed.
They're always disguised in such a way that you have to really be on the inside to know who's getting that tax provision. I think any tax bill is fair game for that kind of legislation.
And that may be true for other kinds of bills as well. As Congress vows to crack down on earmarks in the spending bills, the search intensifies for other ways to legislate the flow of federal dollars to suit the individual agendas of powerful lawmakers. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.